We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome on in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the afternoon show. No Ike, Spike, and Fritz today. It's Broads hanging out with you, and Marcus Hayes is by my side. What's up, Marcus?
Not too much. How you feeling?
Oh, I've been fantastic. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. I smelled the clam chowder that you were mucking before the show, and I was so jealous. I'm going to have to get myself one of those.
Well, if you're a gourmand like me, and you travel a lot, you go to a lot of restaurants, there's three things I always like to try that if I haven't had them before. It's the clam chowder.
Okay.
Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
And corned beef hash if it's homemade.
Okay.
So those are my three sort of litmus tests. If a place carries them, I'll try them. And so when I got here about an hour ago, I said, you know what? I haven't had lunch. Let me try this clam chowder. It was very good. Good job, Pete. I know Pete. Good job, Pete.
Yeah, it smelled amazing. I'm going to be getting one. Lots of TVs, lots of sports, lots of action. It's a beautiful place to be. Now, we got to talk a lot about the Phils, a lot about the Eagles as we embrace the season beginning in about a week. And the Phils, well, it's always up and down with them. Let's set the scene, Marcus, all right, because they were embarrassed in Citi Field. And then you come home, you have Kyle Schwarber rocking four home runs in one day, which is outrageous, right? I saw Buzz, who's producing today, we'll get his thoughts in a second, but he tweeted out last night that that's more rare than a perfect game. Think about how crazy that is, and we witnessed it. So it's just so extreme that we see them fail and flop against the Mets, then respond in such an epic way, and I am so emotionally damaged from this team that yesterday didn't move me at all.
Emotionally damaged.
I'm emotionally damaged, Marcus, so we need to have a long 4 hours together so you can convince me that I shouldn't be as damaged as I am.
So what was the worst part of the Mets series for you?
Whew, that's a great question. We can be here all day. I mean, just the fact that...
I'll tell you what it was. You don't realize it, but I'll tell you what
it was.
Okay,
go ahead. Tell me.
It was Jordan Romano.
Huh. Go ahead. Expand.
He made the game unreachable, and he reminded you that he's still here and he's going to be a player going down the stretch. Now, as it turns out, he's on the IL with a finger injury that cropped up out of nowhere. But I will guarantee you, in the moment, the worst you felt was when Jordan Romano blew up in relief and the game was blown open. In what was it, game one, right?
That was one of the ones that made me feel terrible. Yeah, there's the fact that 6-0 to finish the series, 13-3 to start the series, and they knew how big of a moment that was. But then yesterday happened, and then it reminded you that when they get hot, they are one of the most lethal offenses. And if you get a start from Aaron Nolan, I know the first inning was rough, but if you can get six out of your starter and only allow a couple earned runs, if you're going to hit nukes left and right, then maybe you can do some serious damage. So it's just one extreme compared to the other extreme, which plays with my emotions so much. So I want to believe, trust me, every day I wake up going, I want to think that they can do something.
Well, what's something? What's doing
win.
Something?
Win. I want to win a championship.
Okay, so that is the problem. In Philadelphia, everything is seen in the context of building toward that year's championship or dominance down the road. The joy of sports, the only thing assured in sports is today. As we know, with Zach Wheeler being not only on the IL, but maybe out of baseball for the next 8 months. So my contention has always been, unless you're rebuilding, actively rebuilding, as we've seen the Eagles do, as we've seen the Sixers do for 11 straight years now, as we're in the middle of one with the Flyers, unless you're actively rebuilding, your responsibility as a GM, president, owner, is to make sure the team is relevant to entertain the fans. The fans that only want championships, you cannot entertain because there's only one satisfaction for them, so they can't enjoy the moment. So as I've counseled you before, Broads, enjoy the moment.
I'm trying.
You're talking about the Mets series in the first 10 minutes of a show the day after Kyle Schwarber almost broke the single-game Major League home run record.
Uh-huh.
That's an illness.
It is. Oh, no doubt about it. I'm not hiding from that. I openly accept the fact that that's an illness. But you know what? I put out a Twitter poll, and our Twitter poll is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's Jewelers difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey, or online at marks-jewelers.com. And this is what our Twitter poll reads. So I asked the people about an hour ago, did Schwarber's four-home run night move you, or are you too damaged from the Mets? And it's 51-49.
I'm surprised.
It's almost split.
Well, who's 51?
Too damaged. So smart people in town.
I'm surprised 49 made the 49% are in there.
I agree. I kind of agree with you that that does seem like an overwhelming amount.
That's incredible optimism for Philadelphia.
It is. And you know what? At 215-592-9494, you could jump in and talk to us how you're feeling. And I don't like that this is how I feel. Because to your point, we had watched before this core just garbage baseball, right? Michael Franco's, Odubel Herrera, Cesar Hernandez,
Dominic,
Gabe Kapler.
Dominic Brown,
Jake Arrieta, Carlos Santana smashing TV screens. I mean, the list goes on and on. But then I watched them 7 games up go on the road against that team and just lay down and crumble. And those 3 games wear me down so much that I feel defeated. And I could be wrong to feel that way, and I want to be wrong, but there's just something about that, I hate to be so cliche, but that it factor with the team where they smell like they could be championship caliber. And we saw it with the Eagles. I think the Eagles are maybe not messing with my judgment, but because I know what it feels like now, when I see the Phillies, they don't feel the same way that some of these Eagles teams did when they went on that championship run.
So Philadelphia has won 4 championships since 2008, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is that right?
Three. To the Super Bowl that they
zero
did.
Zero of those teams gave you that feeling during the season. None of them.
You don't think last year's Eagles team did?
Absolutely not.
I felt that way. They were rocking and rolling.
You felt that way during the bye week?
No. Not at 2-2. But once they started grooving and you started seeing Saquon and you realized something was special about the group.
So it wasn't all season. So when one player just has a great year and they get a big lead in their division or conference, that's when you feel good about it?
I thought that their style of play with the offensive line, the defensive line, DeGene, Quinion, I think they started rough and then they blossomed into it, and I watched it over time grow into what I feel could win.
Well, I will argue that you're in the same situation with the Phillies. They have a big lead in a good division with a superstar MVP candidate that is, you know, that is producing at a high level and good in several areas, and they've added a closer, and they have some of the best starting pitching in baseball independent of Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
you're not wrong, but that's why that Mets series was so big. Because as bad as I feel now, that was the building off moment to really separate yourself and set the tone more. Where if they walked out of Queens with 2 out of 3, then it would be the 180 of how I feel now, and I'd be the obnoxious you-know-what saying, here we go, baby, we can make this happen. But it was such a deflating series that, like, that's the building block I was looking for to put me over the edge of, hey, there's something special. To fall and collapse like that, how can I believe there's something special when you went up to Queens and did that?
Because you have 120
–
well, I should say you have 110 games to refute that, because there have been those 10 games against the Mets that support your argument.
Yeah, I know it. And honestly,
and they might not face them.
I know. That's what makes this thing so uncomfortable for me. Is I was reaching out to a couple of my buddies as they were complaining about what was happening over the last 3 games prior to the Braves series, and it was all we have to do is avoid the Mets, and I believe that's true, right? Like, I'm not afraid of. I'm not saying these teams are good, but I'm just saying I fear the Mets, which makes me sick to my stomach. I don't fear the Brewers the same way. Now, you might lose to the Brewers, but I don't fear them the same way. But then I go, if I'm afraid of the Mets, oh, God, that's disgusting. You know? Like, that's just disgusting. You're telling me that Mets team is making me shake in my boots? That doesn't make me feel good. That diminishes what I think your greatness can be, and I could be wrong with that. But I'm just letting you know how I feel. So 215-592-9494. I'm trying to figure out the balance here of the fan base, right? Because yesterday was a special moment. It was rare. It was really ridiculous. And I did have fun watching Kyle Schwarber have a chance for 5 against a positional
right.
player. And even Bader for a cycle. I'm thinking, hey, let's see if we could do something really cool here. So in the moment watching the game last night, there was maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes of a smile. But then once the game ended, it went back to reality. Now, Buzz, I want to ask you, and again, we can get to the phones at 215-592-9494. You're very optimistic with this team, or at least more optimistic than me. Talk to me. I need help. I'm breaking down in every way possible.
Yeah, I think you just need to enjoy the season more. You know, I've produced you a number of times, and we're going to get the chance to host here in a couple of weeks as well. And every time I hear you talk about them, you're so focused on the negative. It's like you need therapy for this significant other you have where you love 50% of them, but you're focused on the negative half, and yet everything's glass half empty. And I look at it, and I think you got narrow blinders, which is understandable, to just what the Phillies are doing. I'm not going to sit here and just explain. I think people lose nuance and lose perspective when they say, well, just look at the standings. They're 20 games above 500. They're 5 games up in first place. Because we've seen teams have good records in the city before, and that didn't tell the whole story. The 2023 Eagles, they were a good team, but a lot of people did not believe in them, and they were ultimately proof correct based upon how they played down the stretch. But I think this Phillies team in particular is a mixed bag. I think most teams in baseball this season, I don't think there is a clear-cut, like, dominant team. The Dodgers, who came in with much greater expectations than the Phillies did this season, have been a really huge mixed bag. They blew a huge lead in the division, squandered it to the Padres, and now they're just slightly back up. I think we're looking at a team that When all the dust settles of 162, and a 162-game baseball season is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the impatient. It is not for the overreactionary to negative people. I think we're going to have a division title. I think there's a very good chance, maybe 50-50, that they have a first-round bye. And I think we're looking at a team that plays significantly better at home and has one of the two or three best chances to win a World Series this year? Marcus is right. There's no way that you're going to be satisfied like in August or in September. We only know if they win a championship at the end.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
But if they beat, honestly, it really comes down to that Mets. Because if they did the same thing, but beat the Mets, then I'm satisfied. So I needed something better than that. That scarred me. Like, that really did something to me that, and I know it's regular season baseball, so when I say this, I'm obviously over-exaggerating, but when I walked out of that NLCS against the Diamondbacks, and last year in the NLDS against the Mets, there was this feeling of discomfort that hit so hard, and it almost related in a regular season sense to how I felt leaving Queens. And maybe, again, I could just be an obnoxious you-know-what, but I can't shake how I feel. I wish I had your guys' mindset. It seems way more fun.
It is. It is. I mean, I'm going to go down there tonight. I will say this. Like, this edition of the Phillies, because I'm a columnist at the Inquirer, and I have a lot of latitude in the things I cover. And baseball is usually the worst thing to cover. It's usually, it's a grind. Guys get, rammy. They're baseball players. They're sort of mercenary. They're very much out for themselves in each at bat or each appearance. This is a pleasant place to be as a reporter, and I think the fans have connected with them, and I think they understand the fans. So I actually enjoy going to the ballpark because of the personalities that are there. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, and that's the part I think that you don't get. Like, I don't think you are connected to these guys who there has not been a more likable team in my 30 years in Philadelphia. And it's really not close. Like, think about it. Like,
yeah, because I don't feel that. You're right. Right. I don't feel that.
But, like the Eagles of 2017 were largely a mercenary band, especially, like, at running back. And, it was just they weren't – you have scar tissue and history and a familiarity and success with these guys. And you don't feel that connection. You're not the only one. There are a lot of people who are just like, all right, fine, show me. The 2007 Phillies got the 2008 Phillies liked. And then people sort of liked the idea of the Phillies. But back then it was a party at Citizens Bank Park. They wanted to see Ryan Howard hit home runs. Chase Sutley was cute. Charlie Manuel was funny. And then you had, you know, Cliff Lee and Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, and Roy Halladay, right? So it wasn't really a connection. It was kind of like, look at the jewels we have. Mm-hmm. This is a likable bunch of guys who've endured a lot of stuff from Philadelphia and Philadelphia fans and produced to a large degree. Produced ultimately, no. But they've been pretty good. The manager is incredibly likable.
I like
and
Rob.
Pretty good. He's a pretty good manager. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff is accessible and you feel like you're in touch with them. And I'm not just talking about as a sports writer. If there's an issue, the hitting coach, the pitching coach, whoever, the bench coach, the infield coach, the outfield coach will talk to you about it, be honest about the players. The connection that doesn't exist for me is remarkable, and I would posit that there is sort of ambivalence about Bryce Harper, despite how productive he's been, an appreciation for Zach Wheeler, an absolute love for Kyle Schwarber, and kind of indifferent about everybody else. Stott was on his way, but then he had a couple of years where he wasn't as productive with the bat. So, and there's kind of an ambivalence about Rob Thompson, who might be too nice a guy to be loved in Philly.
It's an interesting point. All right, so 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the phones. I guess, in a way, this is going to be a therapy session for me where I vent, and then you all say, Broads, relax. Or maybe there's some out there that say, Broads, you're very intelligent, you're very good-looking, you're very smart, and you know everything about baseball. Maybe there's some people out there that feel that.
You just threw the good-looking thing in there. Like, we were going to let that slide.
Who said that?
Some might say Broads.
Yeah.
It's great because Dallas no longer has
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah. We could get into
that as well.
Everything's
going up roses today, man.
All right, let's go to Rob in Overbrook to get things started. What's happening, Rob?
What's up, bro? Hey, calm down, bro. Marcus, how you feeling today?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the Sixers, but real quick, about the Phillies, I was telling bros to calm down. You know what? They're not that guy until they are. So when they win something, come and, you know, knock on my door. But otherwise, you know, the ups and downs, I'm not going to let some guys do that to me. I'm sorry. I don't let anybody do that to me. I don't care who they are. So, you know, I'll watch them. I support them. But until they win something, you know, that's when they'll be that guy. If they aren't,
yeah,
they don't
I understand
win,
that. I guess for me is there's only a handful of series each month that, like, moves the needle. And that Mets one happened to be one of those. So I don't feel this knee-jerk reaction on every series, but there are a few. It's like with the NBA, if we're going to go Sixers at some point here. When you play Milwaukee in the regular season, when you play Boston in the regular season, those games mean more than when you play Charlotte on a Tuesday night on the road, you know? So it just feels this happens to fall, this program, after one of the ones that would really move the needle for
and you. And does the next series after this Braves series move the needle for you? As a matter of fact, I was thinking about trying to go to Milwaukee for that series, at least for one of the games, because I think that series is much more important and indicative of what the postseason may be, because the Brewers might be the best team in the league right now, and the Phillies are going to Milwaukee where they might have to, you know, make hay in a month and a half from now.
Yeah, and that'll tell the story. Now, about the Sixers, you know, I've been a Philadelphia Sixers fan for over 55 years, and this is the worst I've ever seen this franchise as far as, and that's saying a lot, because, you know, usually the 76ers have had some really history of really bad general managers. I mean, you know, going all the way back to trading Chamberlain and all this other nonsense. But, you know, this is the worst I've ever, this is a train wreck. And, you know, they should have got rid of Joel Embiid when they had the opportunity. I've been saying that for years. The guy is not a winner. He doesn't have it. He's like a tin man. He doesn't have a heart. And now we're stuck. And then they go and sign Paul George.
It sounds as though you're more your despair is centered around the future. Like, they're not only not good, they're almost guaranteed to not be good for the length of these contracts.
Yeah, and so what was the sense of extending these people and bringing them here?
I think they screwed up.
Daryl Morey, in my lifetime, you know, I'm 70 years old, Daryl Morey is probably in the top three worst general managers I've seen in Philadelphia sports history.
It's been bad. Rob, it's been bad, and thank you for the call. I guess, and we'll just do this for 1 second here. The VJ Edgecombe, the Maxi McCain trio of youth, excitement, hardworking kids. Is there anything that maybe could win some fans over in that light once they start taking the floor? I don't know. I really don't know.
I think sooner than later. I honestly don't know that we're going to see either Paul George
or
Embiid until Christmas, or maybe even later. At that point, the team might have a new personality.
That might be better for the fans.
But I will posit this. Like, as difficult a time as Daryl Morey has had with the James Harden issue, having to get rid of Ben and all that sort of stuff, Sam Hinkie was way worse.
Yeah, well.
Like, he was, like, the draft picks he made and the deals he made and the decisions he made in just 3 years set this team back. And I understand they were rebuilding, but you can't miss that often.
Correct.
With that kind of draft capital. It was abysmal, just abysmal.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, he did a great job of, like, turning, you know, paying for picks, you know, getting veterans and picks in deals, and then sort of clearing salary cap space.
But then you got
execution
execute.
And the execution of those picks. And I know that he didn't make all the picks. I mean, there was the Brian Colangelo, Brett Brown era of general managing and things like that, but that was utterly catastrophic, and they're still digging out from that. If you are down on Daryl Morey, he's still paying for the mistakes Sam Hinkie made.
And that's why, and just to spin this to the other winter sports team, and then we'll get right back to the Phils, with the Briere thing, I really did enjoy the fact that they stripped it down and they were able to get a lot of these assets, but that's only step one of this thing. You got to then execute with the draft picks and all that, and that's almost more difficult than the strip down.
I would contend the strip down was much more intelligently done.
100%.
Because Travis Konechny's still here. Travis Sanheim's still here. Kutz is still, Sean Couturier is still here. All right? So they didn't. My biggest issue with the whole process, all of the process, is there was no reason to trade Jrue Holiday for Nerlens Noel. That was just absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made no sense. If you're going to try to build a team, you have a young, good, two-way point guard who looks to be durable and knows how to win. Well, that's the foundation that you need.
I thought today was supposed to be a day to make me feel better.
Well, it's Rob's fault, not mine. Rob the caller ripped the scab off that wound.
Let's go to Linda in Philly. What's going on, Linda?
Hey, so, you know, I've been a Phillies fan since the 70s. You know, I go way back. And I was at last night's game. There were almost 42,000 people there. And I just like the Mutts as much as anybody. And it was awful, the first top of the first inning. There was, like, such a bad vibe in the stadium. And then Kyle Schwarber came up and hit Schwarbaum number one, and the whole center of that stadium changed. I've been at the 80 World Series and all these great games, and yesterday's game was one of the best games I ever attended in my life. It was that great.
Yeah, so, no, Linda, you could feel it too, because you're right. That first inning, Linda, was eerie. You know, you could tell Aaron Nola walking in guys to score. And it got really awkward. But once Schwarber and then JT, and then you got Kepler who's playing over Nick.
Yeah.
You're right. The energy exploded rather quickly, but it did start out in that awkward vibe.
Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, now here we go again. And, you know, I consoled myself. At least they couldn't bring Jordan Romano in. But, you know, last year's Phillies peaked way early, and then they just kind of were in this downhill slide. This year, they're a little streak here, but they battle back. So I have great hope for them.
Okay.
And I think that guys like Schwarber and Real Muto and Harper, who beat this team, think Bader's a great addition because it gives them that kookiness that they lost when they sent Stubbs down to the minors. I think they were loose. They were having fun. And all the play, you know, Harper taken out of the game, he's still there on the top step cheering for Schwarber when he hits number four. So they're a team that are connected. And I think they resonate with the fans because they really have the personality of Philly.
Linda, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. So there's some optimism. Here's my issue. I wouldn't be surprised, believe it or not, if they got hot offensively and made some serious damage in the playoffs. I also wouldn't be surprised if they lost in the wild card round. And that's what makes me irritated is I don't know which team I get on a day-to-day basis. I either get the team that looks like they're a juggernaut, or I get the team where Trey and Boehm might leak oil on the left side of the infield, and maybe someone's throwing the ball 80 feet over JT's head from the outfield. And, you know, I just don't know what team I'm getting.
There's no guarantees in baseball. No.
Well, why not?
Because
how do I get one?
That's why it's the greatest game.
Can I get
one?
It's
not the best sport, but it's the greatest game.
All right, we are live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. It's Broads, it's Marcus Hayes. We're just getting started, filling in for the afternoon show right here on WIP. Coming up next, did Topper call out our very own Kyle Quinn? You'll hear some audio and your phone calls coming up next. It's Broads, it's Marcus Hayes, it's 94 WIP.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.